Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Hey, that's pretty good. Usually I have to ask you twice. I know Easter was last week, but I have to one more time, right? He is risen.
He is risen.
Indeed. You know, what a great, great story. And I want to remind you a little bit. We just saw it in the video, that phrase, it is finished. And it was, and it is. And what was that? That was the finished work on the cross of salvation, deliverance, conquer over death, that whole thing. And yet, like a great movie, there's a sequel. Now, I don't know about you, but generally, I like the original, and then the sequels, I'm kind of like, I'll watch it once. The sequel is as good as the original on this one, and that's what we're going to do today. It's going to be fun. Before we do that, I want to have some other fun because we have a bunch of men missing today, about 15 of us down. In fact, I woke up in the canyons of Santa Cruz with the dew and the mist coming down and the cold in a one-man tent, rolling out of my mummy bag, wondering if I had to start the day or not. But spend the last 2 days with the guys and Mark Campbell, and what an amazing, amazing time. When the top-notch, amazing food is the worst part of the trip, you know God was doing some great things. And I know some of you are asking, well, wasn't it really cold and damp? Nothing can compete with the heat that was generated from the discussion. And Mark is a unique cat. You know that. I know some of you are still trying to figure out how to get him. But the way he tells stories and weave things in, we had several sessions. And then yesterday I came back for something else I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. But while I was gone, free time of the retreat, between lunch and dinner, what do you usually do? Whatever you want. Go on a hike, read a book, blah, blah, blah. The guy sat down at 2 o'clock and stayed around the fire circle till 5. Wow. Not a one of them is going to come back the same. Okay, so very excited. We're going to continue to pray for them. Amen. And look forward to having them back. If you're a guy and you missed it, consider it a joy. We only let the 15 worst guys go who needed the most work. Okay, and that's working. So we'll get you next year. If you have questions, come see me. And now, oh wait, did we get the picture of that? Did we see the guys around the table? Oh, come on, there we go. Right, Grandpa John, Lewis. This guy in the front on the left, I can't remember quite who he is. He did a lot of talking, though. And then we got Nando and Nick and all the way back to other Nick in the very back. And just great, great old time. And they all behaved. So amen to that, huh? Okay. I want to show you another picture, which might even be better. Bam! Yesterday, right about here. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Rich and Dee Galley, there they are. In our premarital, I forgot to talk to them about what you're supposed to do on a honeymoon. They show up at church the very next morning. Good for you guys. But what a great time, your family decked out, sitting in the front row. Love them. They were like straight out of a magazine. And the little ones, the kids, and awesome. Her granddaughter came down and made sure every single petal came out onto the floor. Right? It was really cool. And then we were in the back and the whole thing, and we just had a great old time. I think we got another photo. There we go. Yeah. Right now, my two favorite couples. Reserve the right to change that. So congratulations. Rich, good job. You made out on this deal, okay? Dee, we're going to pray for you, okay? So What a joy, though, and a reminder, between a men's retreat and a wedding ceremony, why are we here? And we're going to get that in the passage this morning out of Luke chapter 24. Before we do that, let's pray, and then we'll get going. Lord, thank you for all the things that you do. Your word tells us that your eyes search to and fro throughout the whole earth. You see everything. And so we thank you for your providence, your ability, your heart, your attention to detail. This morning, Lord, we're going to love the way you plan. And so we thank you for plans you made for Rich and Dee, plans you made for these guys, and we pray that you will continue to show each of us individually your plans for us, because we have the greatest confidence that you finished what needed to be finished on the cross, and you're not done yet. And so I pray that you would give us an anticipation, a reverence, a humility as we approach your continuing work. Show us that, Lord, this morning in your word, through what's said, through what's heard, and then what's applied as we go out of here. And all God's people said, amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter 24, and this is, if we go back, can we go back one to the intro slide with the, just the title and the thing? There you go. If you're, I don't know, keeping track or score at home, this is actually the end of the chapter from last week. We did Easter. We did the first 27 verses. I want you to see, because a lot of times Easter ends on Easter. You know, once the eggs are gone and the baskets are put away, I think, oh, it's over. No. The story, you know, it's not the last chapter in the book of Luke. Well, not the last section, but there's more to say. In fact, we get some great things after Easter. The Great Commission we get out of Matthew chapter 28, where he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you, how often?
Always.
There's some great stuff that comes after Easter. And so before we get into our next series, I thought, let's do the post-game report on what happened at Easter. And it's going to be hosted this morning by Jesus himself, because that's who's going to do some of the great talking in this section. Before we get moving, I was reminded this week that there are Bibles with red letters in them. And those are kind of fun, because when you see the red letters, what's it mean?
Jesus
is speaking or talking, right? If that's a help and a great thing for you, do it. Have fun with it, okay? Now, I tend to not, and it's a really, like, minuscule reason. Why? Because red letters don't show up on the screen on Sunday mornings very well, and so it's hard, and we transfer and the whole thing. But I was reminded that, like, when Jesus says something, ooh, the weight, the joy, the anticipation, the clarification of mystery, or the creation of mystery. And I think we're going to see a bunch of that this morning. You ready? Luke chapter 24, verse 28. Here we go. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. Who's they? On Sunday last week on Easter, we talked about how Jesus appeared to at least two who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Okay, good. One of them starts with C. Cleopas. Right? There's going to be a reference to Simon coming up here in a little bit. They're walking along. They're with Jesus, and yet Jesus is incognito. Right? He is yet to reveal himself to them. So they're having a conversation. Let's see how it goes. He acted as if he were going farther. Who's he? Yeah. Just so you know, just a little pet peeve of mine. When we use a pronoun when it refers to the Lord or Jesus, can you capitalize it, please? Some of our translations don't do it. The second he in that sentence should be a capital H, okay? And whether you amen that or not, I don't care, because that's just the way I am, all right? He, Jesus, acting as if Jesus were going far. Was he acting? Oh, let's create a division in the church. Was Jesus lying here? Bearing false witness against his neighbor? Did he deceive? Mislead? Absolutely he did. Are you kidding me? He acted as if he were going farther. Was he going farther? No. Ooh. I want you to take the phrase lying and pull it back a little bit. Our negative thoughts about what people do or do not share, or your right to know it, your privilege versus their privilege, and let's give people a little more leash, a little more grace. Did Jesus ever sin? Okay, at least we got that one right. So if he acted like he were going farther and he wasn't, did he do something wrong? And yet he misled them. I want you to spin on that for a while. Not everybody gets to know everything about what you're doing. Amen? Some stuff is meant to yet to be known because we got something else to work on first. Whether he's going farther or not later, no importance right now, because we want to do something even bigger that might even change whether he's going farther or not, right? Because it's not like he's going to stop. You're either going farther or you're stopping there. Of the two, which does he do? Neither. I'm going to show you. Okay. He acted this way, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Was that his original plan? Okay. So he was at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him. What just happened? It was just a couple days ago that Jesus broke the bread, dipped it in the wine, handed it and passed it out. All of a sudden, he's breaking the bread, dipping it in the wine, and passing it out again. Muscle memory? Deja vu? He kind of looked, he is! Pretty cool? I mean, were there lots of ways to make himself known? I mean, he was kind of hiding it from him, which I would call a little deceptive. Some of you want to call him a liar. You know, because I do something like that, and Scott's a liar, right? Jesus does it, and it's like, oh, he's divine, right? Why'd he do that? Why break the bread again? Randy? I'm sorry, Rob? Make a point. I want to be known. I want you to know me. I'm going to do things you recognize. Ooh, love that. Does he still function that way today? Yes. There's something about pattern or repetition and recognition that God uses for what? To get our attention, because I get distracted by all kinds of things. Right? He needs to get our attention. Now, hopefully for you, it's different than how he gets my attention. It's usually smack in the back of the head. Scott, what are you doing? Right? I hope instead he just breaks some bread and passes it out to you, or something of the similar for you, to where you find ways to recognize him in regular pattern. Okay? That's just a little bit of a Sunday service extra for you there. They recognized him, verse 31, and he vanished from their sight. Did he go farther? Did he stay? No, he did altogether other. Wait, was that an option? Why vanish there? What did I remember? We just went through that whole thing. Why break the bread, dump it in the wine, pass it out? Because you would recognize it, right? What's he trying to prove? He's the Jesus, and he's alive with him. They recognize him. Did he just give him another proof? Yes. Just in case, I mean, a lot of people can impersonate somebody else and break bread and dip it in wine and pass it out. Anybody ever vanished before? I mean, when I get to heaven, I want to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, can we talk for a second? Like, how much of this were you having fun? Because you were kind of playing a little bit of a game in how you poked, prodded, drew us in. Love what he does with the disciples. I want to be one. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road while he opened up the scriptures to us? And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11, okay, good. And those who were with them and gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed. See, they were still saying it after Easter too. So, and he's appeared to Simon. We got Cleopas reference. We got Simon reference, which is, I think, really kind of cool because I need to accentuate this. We hear almost nothing about Cleopas in Scripture anywhere else. We hear almost nothing about this Simon anywhere else in Scripture. And yet, do they get to have an amazing experience? All right, so the no-names get to have an amazing experience? Okay, cool. I can continue to be a no-name because I still want to have an amazing experience with God. He offers that to all people. You just have to be willing and open, right? Hey, did we not know? Verse 35, then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, surprise! He said, hey, peace to you. Why do you have to say peace to them? Bam! There he was. Whoa. Hey, calm down. Be at peace. Relax. Right? We used to say it for a while, about a decade. Chillax. Right? Does he have one of them transporter things on the Star Trek, on the Enterprise? Hey, Scotty, beam me up. All right, beam me down. All right, we're going to have a little fun today. Just stay by the transporter because I'm gonna come up. I'm going to come down. We're going to get these boys' attention. How great is that? Is he showing off? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's showing off. So that we can understand. Verse 37. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Spirits they had some experience with, very little, but they were much more familiar with a vanishing and reappearing Savior. This is first time. And they said to them, he said to them, what's the problem? Why do you doubt? What's in your heart? What do you actually believe about me? I think this is a great devotional verse for this morning because you're at church. What do you actually believe about him? Can he do things that are insane and make no sense and scientifically impossible?
Yes.
Okay. Flashback to last night around the fire circle, where there are four sons on the trip, young dudes, 20-somethings, and all the formal is over, and now guys are just sitting around the fire and, you know, kibitzing. And pastor gets surrounded and cornered by the four youngsters. And they want to know about, well, what about dinosaurs? And what about this? And what and the science? Wait a minute. Do you think God is over science? Is God bound by time or science or human thought or our emotions or our thin-skinned, offended self? He's above it all. In fact, everything that we can think, experience, feel, they're all his constructs. So for him to vanish back and forth or do anything is like, this is what you should expect. In fact, I told you before I left, long before I left, I said, you know, with man, it's impossible. But with God, how many things will be impossible? All. You should be saying, well, that's self-explanatory. Should have expected that. Why do you doubt? Are you thinking there's things that are impossible in your life today? I had a discussion with somebody the other day who was stuck in guilt and shame. I said, we were never meant to live in guilt or shame. Ever. Do you believe that you can get out of it? Do you believe that your past actions have no effect in God's greatest economy? No matter what. No matter who your daddy was, what he did or didn't do, or if he even existed. Because I just spent 48 hours with a man who is absolutely changing 15 guys' lives, who pretty much didn't have a dad, and the little bit that he had that dad, it was abusive and wrong. And God says, no problem. Gonna make you great. We're gonna have some fun. Now, you're gonna have to deal with a lot of gophers, but do you believe? What will you put faith in me for? And I have to say, Mark Campbell was killing it in life, the way the society thinks. He had a very, very successful landscaping business. He was killing it. He was actually featured on TV. He had a very nice house gated in Castro Valley. He could have lived out his days. He sold it all, gave it up, gave up his 18-year position at Neighborhood Church Castro Valley and said, I'm going to go down to Santa Cruz and hang out with the hippies. I'm going to take seriously that verse that says, I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. Which in and of the statement means you're guaranteed some failures. Yeah, I'm going to have to do it to all people, but some are going to reject and some are going to be saved. And now he's bringing people to healing and has stories that make no sense to me. And you can have that experience too. What would you like to expect? We're going to come back to that when we get to the fillings. Fill-ins, that is. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? What's wrong with your heart? That's another way to say this. Verse 39. See my hands and my feet? That it is myself. Touch me and see. For the spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, watch this. And while they were still in disbelief for joy and were marveling, he said to them, you got anything to eat? I'm hungry. What? What's all this weird stuff? Hey, you want to touch my hands? Why? Are we getting more proof again? Yeah, what's he just asked him about? Doubt. Let me crush your doubt. But wait a minute, if you're physical and you're not spirit, wait. Are you just only human? What's the risk here? He's proving his humanity. Spirits get hungry? They don't have physical bodies. Are there bathrooms in heaven? I mean, you can imagine the questions that the 20-somethings came up with last night, right? He's proven his humanity. Why would that be important? Because what are we trying to claim about Easter? That he is risen indeed. If he's risen indeed, then prove to me that he's human. Because I want to know that he was human. Then I want to know that he was actually dead. And then I want to know that he was actually human. And I want the science. Show me the receipts. That's what he's doing. Brilliant on his part. Say yes. Okay. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Hey, last time we gave him fish, remember what happened? Let's give him fish again. He multiplied it, remember? He took it, ate it before them. Another proof. Verse 44. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything, how much? Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Everything written about me is being fulfilled. Get out your outline. Look at the top. It says Luke 24, 28 through 53. And then what his ascension fulfills. It was his ascension, and he fulfilled everything in the Moses, the law, the prophets, the Psalms. Woo! Wow. Amazing. Let's take us back, Denise. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Awesome. You know what somebody said to me at the retreat last night? I couldn't believe it. They said, well, you know, I don't have a degree or a certificate. Speaking about like a bachelor's from college or a seminary degree. You know what I said to him? Say that again. So? I got one. You want it? You can have it. Why? Because what does this guarantee us? No degree required. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Here's the thing. When I go to school, I'm trying to train my mind, take in information. Well, somebody was asking me last night, hey, how do you memorize scripture? Like, what are your tricks and your tips? I was like, hey, we do this. Da-da. Guess what? All of those are our efforts. But if we're really to understand scripture, how much do our efforts do? Say none. And who does it? Him. He opened their minds. Wow. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, help me understand this. Lord, I'm confused. He says, yeah, I know. Meant it to be that way. So you would have to come to me. Now we're interacting. Love that. Open their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. You knew this. Verse 47. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to only the nations we like. All, every, each, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Stop banking on your own power, on your own ability, on your own resources, on your best relationships. Start turning to God. Amazing. If you look at the top of your outline, those are the verses I gave you, verses 46 and 47. I think it's the hinge of the passage. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Did they have front row seats?
Yes.
Why? Watched a documentary not too long ago, and somebody was saying about the character that the documentary is about. You know, everything he does is intentional. And I thought to myself, I literally thought, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit too much pastor nerd. I said, oh, everything he does is intentional. That's cute. I know somebody who's even much more intentional. Why would Jesus, when he can just disappear from a walk, instantly reappear in a room? I know we got a pattern, right? We just, I called it transporting, right? Scotty, beam me up, beam me out. All of a sudden, he's not beaming in and out. He's not just vanishing or appearing. It's almost like he put on a show. Look, I can levitate. Bless you. Thanks for letting me being out with you. And he just starts going, why the visual? More proof. I'm not going down. I was already there. I set all those captives free. I'm not missing the party. My party, by the way. I'll see you up there. What a great promise. He was carried up to heaven, verse 52, and they worshiped him. What was their natural response to the actual presence of Jesus? Worship. Praise. And returned to Jerusalem with not just joy. Hey, I got to write this down. Joy's not going to cover it. Oh, I know. I'll put great joy. Inexplainable joy. And we're continually in the temple blessing God. Amen? Shouldn't they be in the temple like confessing? Or good, starting a good social justice program? Or starting to work out definitions of what true doctrines are and what they're not? Get a baptism rotation and keep track of it, pass out certificate. No. None of that stuff. That's all stuff we come up with, right? What'd they do? God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Awesome is God. They just kept finding ways to pray. It says, how are they blessing God? Continually. Love that. Because there's more to just to Easter than just the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus shows up on the scene and says, look what I can do. I want us to see some things out of this passage, and I want to reiterate, there is no way we're covering it today. You're going to get like five thoughts. Those are just the ones that beat me up this week so much that I had to share them this week. But there's so much more to it, because I believe that God shows up on the scene on purpose, where he can be touched, heard, felt, smelt, and then watched. Oh, because he wants our attention. He wants our attention because he wants our relationship. He wants to get you back into him. He wants to return you back to the garden, which is where I'd make the argument where Jesus showed up the first time, in the garden. Every time we mess up, he shows up in the garden. What'd you do? Where'd you get the clothes? How'd you even know you were naked? I mean, these are great questions, because they're like kindergarten questions you would ask a five-year-old. Wait, where'd you put the cookies? Where'd you get the cookies? Now, there's more. Did you hide some? Like, what are you doing? Who told you where the cookies were? Discussion came up with the guys about Jacob. Mark did this amazing little thing through Genesis talking about Jacob and who Jacob was and his faults and missteps. And there's this point in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, where it says, and Jacob was left alone. And it says, and a man came and wrestled him until the sun came up. And we had this discussion. Now, some of you know my position on this. Mark's saying, well, it could have been an angel. Says it's a man. In fact, everybody get out their different translations. We got 16, because you had a couple staff, like 18 of us, and we're all finding whoever has different translation. Every single one of them said man. Love that. So if you compare that Hebrew word to the word at the beginning of the book, when he says, hey, let's make man in our own image, not the same Hebrew word. In fact, that word where Jacob wrestles with, fill in the blank, that word is many times translated another. If you got a word for man, like I just accentuated with Katie, if you got a word that means man, why would you use a word that says another a lot of the time? Because you're not really sure what it was. And yet, at the end, when the wrestling match is over, and Jacob's like, hey, let me go. And the guy's like, wait, what's your name? Da, da, da. We'll get into that some other day. He says, well, you're not going to be Jacob anymore. From now on, you will be Israel. I think you've heard of it, Israel. That's where it came from. Because you have wrestled with God and man, and you've prevailed. I think, well, why'd you name him Victor then? Come on. Mark made the point, and I agree, that the man that Jacob wrestled with was actually himself, Jacob, because he was a mess. He was a deceiver. Well, if man has taken that position by Jacob, and there were only two entities there, who's that leave the other guy to be? You wrestled with God and man. If Jacob's man, then this has got to be God. Oh, by the way, do we have evidence anywhere else in Scripture of God coming onto the scene? Oh, yeah, it's Christmas. It's his business. Why? He wants to be in your life. He's trying to get our attention, and he keeps showing up in the flesh. So that man is without excuse. Mankind, I'll say, is without excuse. Love that. What's fulfilled? Let's look at five of these, and we'll have some fun with it. What's fulfilled is the truth of the words of Scripture. The truth and his words and the Scriptures. He says, look, there's a bunch of truth. By the way, you heard these, did I not say, right? His words. And that all in all of the Scriptures, Moses and the prophets and Psalms, it's about me. It's all fulfilled today. Now, that's the easiest one because he actually says it, right? Fulfilled. What else is fulfilled? Number two, confident repentance. Doesn't it say in the verses that I put at the top of your outline that repentance for all, right? If Jesus can do all the things that he's done, show up back in physical form, I'm eating food, the whole thing, and disappear and reappear, and then do this like ascension elevator with no strings, right? Builds confidence. Folks, I've had way too many things that God has done to me, around me, in spite of me, that make no sense, and yet were absolute perfect timing. I mean, the easiest of all is that I get to be here on Sundays, stand up here and talk about Jesus and through Scripture. I mean, who'd have thunk that would have ever happened? Not a teacher I had in public school. It builds confidence. And the confidence in who he is draws us to recognize who we are. And by comparison, oh, I need to repent. What's repentance? To repent, well, Scott, it means to turn. And the re means again, so it means again turn. Yeah, the turn thing could also be like a view or a vision for who you're supposed to be. Repentance is, how about we get back to the original design. Right? Denise, I don't know how difficult this is. Can you give me the commercial for the kids camp, for Camp Rock? Because it hit me this morning. I saw that. I was like, oh my goodness. That's point number two. It's coming up here in a second because Denise is amazing. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. Pre-K through fifth grade adventure cruise. Everybody go, ah. Right? What's it say that about return to Eden? Folks, that's repentance. We're trying to get back to the original design. What was the original design of the Garden of Eden? That's good. Thanks, Denise. The original design is unlimited everything, including eternal life. There's a tree over there. It's the tree of life. Go eat it. In fact, eat everything. Just listen to me. One rule. Listen to me. What do they do? Cool tree. You seem good. I want to try it on my own. Now, I know that's different than everybody else in the room. Taste the sarcasm? Repentance is, how do I go back to the original design, the intended creation that was in the Garden of Eden? Because the tree of life, we missed out on. Now, Gene McGrogan is silently panicking inside, saying, is Scott going to let him know that at the end of Revelation, something shows up that we thought we were done with? Any guesses as to what shows up at the end of Revelation? Tree of Life makes a cameo at the end. How cool is that? There's no way John could have thought this up by himself, right? Scripture has to be inspired by the Spirit. Amen? And it's the idea that we're living between two gardens of perfection. And how do we get back to the original in the future? If I got a Savior who can raise himself from the dead and fulfill all Scripture and define for me what actual truth is, I'm in. Does I'm in mean I totally understand? Does it mean I'm perfect? Does it mean I will continue to make mistakes and be human? Okay, good. Number three. Costly and gracious. Ooh. Costly hurts a little bit. And gracious. Come on now. Forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. See this verse 47 right above it? Repentance for the forgiveness. It was costly. What was the cost? God himself had to come down and be human for a little while. That might be the worst part of it, I think, on his half. He even says, how long, O Lord, must I deal with this wicked generation? O ye of little faith, have you not read? What does it mean to you? Dealing with us. I mean, crucifixion was fairly quick. I mean, we got a few hours. But years and years of dealing with, Peter, stop it. Come on, what are you doing? Again? It was costly for him, and yet he went to the cross, the thorns, the travel, the whole deal. And yet in the midst of the cost that he paid on our behalf, what's his response to us? What does he do with the disciples right before he goes up? Blessing. One of the greatest first blessings we get is forgiveness. Is that it? Say no. Guys, the cross, grace, forgiveness, it's meant to be bottom shelf, lowest hanging fruit, and then now let's see how it gets better. Because God's not done yet. But we have to jump into this in progression. Like we have to believe that it's true, that they were his words, that he is the fulfillment of all Scripture, prophets, and psalms. And then we have to say, okay, I buy in. I'll repent. I'll turn. I want to go back to original design and have confidence enough to do it. Put my faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means praying about things rather than solving them. I mean, for a lot of us, that's just backwards. What if your approach to things was rather than solve it, pray, and then we'll see about solving it later? How often would you be amazed where God comes in and solves it and you do nothing? That's how Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Did nothing. God came and solved it. Fourth, universal. Okay, have you figured out I'm stealing all of these from verses 46 and 47? Where did I get universal from? Oh. All nations get something. And it starts with the P. Universal Peter. No. Proclamation. Who gets to hear about God? Everybody. Yet I quoted to you earlier that some would be saved. Not everybody who hears will be saved, but who gets to hear? Everyone. Where do they hear that? Well, Scott, you have a lot of work to do. We need to get you on some more media platforms. And how come our Instagram is whatever? What's the snarky point I'm trying to make? Who's meant to proclaim? The forgiven? People need to know that there's more to life, that failure is never meant to be the end. It was always meant to be a sign to get you back in contact with He who never fails and can do all things. And then when He does them, we were never meant to doubt or have disbelief or have our hearts go, oh, what? That doesn't make sense. Anybody ever been mad at God when He's failed to make sense? All right. Five of you. Okay, good. The five of us, we're going to pray for the rest, okay? Universal proclamation. How do you proclaim Christ? Well, I do it by my lifestyle, Scott. If I'm just a good person, they'll eventually figure it out and they'll want to know what's different about me. What will people say when they find that I'm a Jesus freak? It's not enough. You can be a nice guy, nice gal. What do you tell about it? How do you tell them? You know, how you tell people is there's a lot of ways. You know, if you're mean, you crush it. Who do you have coffee with? Who do you invite to your house? Who do you show up and help do work at their place? How do you engage with other people for the opportunity for them to know Christ? You know, we do some kind of silly events here at the church. You know, Mexico auction, Lord's Supper service, chili cook-off. I mean, does it really matter who wins the chili cook-off? No. I mean, the same person wins it every year. Right? I was just, right? Why do it? It's an excuse. It's a way to get people in. Let me give you one of the cheapest, easiest ones that you could just, boom, chuck off the bow right away. Somebody says, hey, wah, 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 wah. Hey, let me pray for you. It works for me every time. You know, I've had waitresses who come and you know, hey, how you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? Oh, it's been a rough day. I'm like, oh, how can I pray for you? Now, I know for some of you, you're like panicked right now. If you were the one that said, can I pray for you to a waitress? Do you know how many times I've been rejected for that offer? Is that statistically significant? Okay, see, science is important. Find ways to proclaim. And by the way, your ways get to be your ways. The way Fred does it is the way Fred does it. You find your way, but find a way, or really find multiple ways. Okay, last one. Joyous worship. Joyous worship. We should be having fun, people. Church should be great. And yet, who finds a way to be the most difficult people on the planet? Really? I swore, I thought, you know, I was talking to Julia. I said, you know, when I ask this question, they're going to say the people from the other political party. They're going to say, you know, that one cousin, the family members. You know, I get mistreated by my family more than anybody else. I used to question, and you guys all come back with church people. We forgot our joy. Well, I'll get to joy after the church makes a list and we start tallying and the thing and the other thing. And when they start all acting like lemmings, then we'll be okay. No, that's when I'm gone. And then you find a new pastor. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. We need to remember what that's like. We are happy to be here. And I don't mean church. What do I mean? Where are we happy to be? Here, in this world. Wherever you are, there you will be. And those of us that believe in the sovereignty of God, who put you wherever you will be? God. And so there must be something for you to do. And it's eventually going to work. It's probably going to be costly and you'll be offended and people will post about you or ghost you or whatever. I'm not sure which is worse, being ghosted or posted about. Which one do you dislike most? We're at church. I asked a question. I gave you two options. Both. Right? Stop posting about people and stop ghosting people. We're meant to be in relationship, and yet ghosting is not, it has its own title. I heard that somebody was upset with me. They called me a liar. And I thought, that can't be true. The person that conveyed the information said, oh no. I asked a follow-up question just to make sure what they were saying. They said, yeah. Scott's a liar. He lied to my face. Well, have you seen your face? I mean, I said, really? Hey, this is the number I have for them. Is that the number you have for them? Yeah. I sent him a message. Hey, would love to get together with you for coffee or lunch. I would love to straighten this out. That was in February. I've been to weddings and all kinds of different stuff, right? It's not what we're meant for. Now, this person, I'll be gracious to because they have yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So none of y'all will be looking around, who at church did that to Scott? Get a rope. You know, no. We've got to figure out how we do joyous worship. And we reach out and we drag people in and we share that truth and we share scripture and we do it with confidence because it works. Amen? Who can you reach out to? Who can you bring? Do you need help? I have signed up for this. It is my calling. I will give you my cell number after church, and I will help you. You're nervous. I call it fun. Amen? This is ascension fulfilling. All right, three of you. Agree. I hope some of you are just taking it in and maybe drink from the fire hose this morning. no matter what, be on your journey with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ongoing work. We thank you, Lord, that there are things that you can finish, finite, done. Never need to offer sacrifice again. We thank you for the things you absolutely solve, like sin and death. And then, Lord, I thank you for, at the same time, your ongoing work on things that need to be managed, like doubt and fear, planning, relationships. Pray you would help us in both areas. We want to be fulfilled, Lord. We know that that's your agenda and your message. And then we want to bring fulfillment, your fulfillment, to those around us. Pray, Lord, you would be burning within us those that we have influence with. Give us the confidence, the strength, the wisdom on how to approach. And then, Lord, for anybody who wants to make that decision today, wants to start that relationship to you, is starting to realize that the whole thing fits together, and they want to go back to the original design with you, let them in. If that's you this morning, you can pray it with confidence, and maybe the thing you just say is, Jesus, let me in. Let me in today. We thank you for all of this, Lord, for the reports on men's camp. And, Lord, Rich and Dee, bless them. Amen. And then help us to be the church you've called us to be. We pray that the offering we're about to take will facilitate that. And we pray all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Claudia, what an offertory. Thank you for that. So amazing. Woo. Next weekend, ladies, have fun at Disneyland. 2 weeks from now, we're coming back. Easter series is over. We're starting a new series. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Scott, you always do exegetical. You ever do topical messages? Yeah, we do. It's called Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We're going to go through it verse by verse, clause by clause. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen?
Amen.
Be fulfilled. Go with him.